Uhuru, and welcome to Africa Live on uhururadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we've got quite a bit on for today for you. We, first of all, on November 14th through the 16th, there was a conference held in Spain, in Huelva, Spain. The conference was one that was sponsored by an organization called European Foundation for North-South Cooperation. It was their first international congress, and it was entitled Africa and the West, the Need for New Relationships. This was a conference that was attended by members of the African People's Socialist Party. It was a conference that featured as its keynote presentation, as its keynote presenter, Chairman Omali Eshitela, the chairman of the African People's Socialist Party. It was a conference that was attended by African and European government policymakers, diplomats, academicians, and activists. The mission statement of this conference, where it recognized that millions of Africans share the same destiny, regardless of their home countries, And so, you know, this was a conference that featured a keynote presentation by Chairman Omali Eshitela, and participation by members of the African People's Socialist Party. And so, we're going to be doing a special broadcast using excerpts from that conference and speaking with some of the participants in that conference. On next week, but just to get a jump on that, I did an interview earlier this week with Comrade Louise Kinshasa, who is the Director of International Affairs for the African People's Socialist Party, and is also the Secretary General of the Interim Committee of the African Socialist International. Comrade Louise Kinshasa, we talked about his participation and the participation of our party in the Spain conference that happened in Huelva, Spain. So I'm going to be playing that interview here. We also spoke about the rebellions that recently happened in France. Which I thought was a particularly important thing to discuss, because with the crisis of imperialism, the ever deepening crisis of imperialism that is caused by the fact that colonized peoples around the world are struggling for control over their own lives, over their own resources, their own future. This crisis is constantly deepening. With the growing developments, the growing resistance around the world. And, as a result of that deepening crisis, there is a response, by imperialism, to escalate, its violence against colonized peoples. Not just in, the colonial territories in Africa, in the Middle East, in other places around the world, but actually within the borders of the colonizer countries, its violence against colonized peoples deepens. This is something that that oftentimes people don't quite get a grasp on. They don't quite understand because they don't recognize that that African people, within colonial borders, within the borders of a place like the United States, like France, like Britain, Spain, that Africans who live there are not part of those of those nations, so to speak, or that nation, the white nation, which all of those countries are part of, and we may talk a bit about that, the whole question of national identity. But African people are not part of even though you may hold a some type of citizenship in a place like France, you're not French as an African person. You can't be French. You're an African. You know, you're an African, and France became France at the expense of African people. And the same goes for Africans who live in other places, and call themselves things like African Americans or Afro Spanish or whatever it is that we call ourselves, Black Brits and things like that. We're African people. And one thing that helps us to understand that indeed we are African people, is the relationship that our communities have, with the state. And by the state, I mean the police, the army, the courts, the school system, these institutions that are created to maintain, the world as they are, to maintain these societies as they are, and as they are, African people are impoverished, or living in the most oppressed kind of conditions. And all of our labor, all of our wealth goes to build for white people and white power. And so you have the state, this institution that's created to maintain that relationship, to maintain things just as they are. And so in the face of crisis, where there is this struggle, that is happening, in the world, by colonized peoples to change that relationship, to end this parasitic relationship that has, all of our wealth, all of our resources going to build for Europe and the United States. You have a response by the state, to attack those struggles, to attack colonized peoples, to contain our struggle, to contain our ability to struggle. That is the state's responsibility. And so you see escalation in the face of this deepening crisis, in the face of this deepening resistance. You see in the face of that the escalation of police violence in the streets against Africans and other colonized peoples. And it's important that we see this and understand that it's not an isolated kind of thing. It's not. The murder of these two young Africans in France recently, is not an isolated thing. It's nothing separate from the murder of four Africans within a month's time in Miami, Florida, in the United States. From the general brutality against African people in Spain, not just by the government of Spain, but also by, white people in general, who take the cue from the Spanish government to brutalize African people. You know, the brutal, police violence, murder in New York, in the U.S., you know, the not just that, policies, that are being initiated, initiatives that are being put forward in the United States, in places like York City, Pennsylvania, where the 222 corridor, anti-gang initiative is putting forward a program to deepen the assault on African people there, the containment on African people there, in the guise of fighting against gang activity, which is ridiculous because the most violent, the most brutal gangs, not just in York City, but all over, the United States and all over, all of these colonized nations, the most brutal gangs that you see are the police. Those are the most brutal gangs that you see. So if there was any genuine, initiative to end gang violence in York City, or in Pennsylvania or in the United States in general, what you'd see is a initiative to disarm the police. That's what you'd see. You know, so these things are not isolated, and too often we believe that they are. We believe that our conditions where we are isolated to just where we are, but they're conditions that are shared by African people everywhere around the globe, as a result of imperialism trying to save itself from this changing, this resistance to the current relationship that we have with imperialism. The state is attempting to maintain things as they are. And so it will brutalize African people. It will beat you in the head. It will kill your mother, your grandmother. It will do all types of things in order to keep you as a slave. And so that's what it is that we're looking at in France. And so just saying all that to say, we did an interview with Comrade Louise Kinshasa that spoke about the rebellion in France, you know, the resistance there, as well as the participation of the African People's Socialist Party in the conference in Huelva, Spain. So we're gonna play that interview that we did with Comrade Louise Kinshasa, who is again the director of international affairs for the African People's Socialist Party, and the secretary general of the interim committee of the African Socialist International. So we're going to play that interview that was done with him on the line from London, England. And I would implore folks to still, even though this is a pre-recorded interview, you can still send in your questions, your comments. We want to hear from you here at Uhuru Radio. So you can email at dj@uhururadio.com. And not just that, you can also phone in, call us at country code 001-727-824-5719. Again, that's country code 001-727-824-5719. This is Uhuru Radio. This is Africa Live. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we're about to play this interview with Comrade Louise Kinshasa. This is Nyabinga Zimbabwe with UhuruRadio.com, and I have on the line with me Comrade Louise Kinshasa, who is the Secretary General of the Interim Committee of the African Socialist International, and also the Director of International Affairs for the African People's Socialist Party. Uhuru, Comrade Louise.
Yes, Uhuru, Comrade Vinga.
It's good to have you on again.
Oh, it's an honor for me once again to be on this, you know, fantastic tool to defend the interests of African working class and the poor peasants around the world, you know, put the revolution back on the map on the radio, you know, airwaves, obviously great.
Absolutely. Yes, great. Yes. And, you know, there's quite a bit going on in the world right now. First of all, France, there were some rebellions in France recently. Can you tell our listeners about the incident that kicked off those rebellions?
Yeah, what we're going to say is on Sunday, the 25th of November this year, a police car hit two young people, one an African, another one an Arab. And after that, the police, the two police officers that were in the car ran away instead of staying there and help these two young men, you know, to get first aid. They didn't. They just ran away. Hmm. And the people in the neighborhood, you know, came on the scene and they did what they could do to help. And after that, actually, the people even tried to protect the car to facilitate any inquiry that the government may do, because they want, you know, to see justice done. And some other youth were saying, well, we need to take justice in our own hands. Then they saw on the TV a report about the incident that was completely out of this world. You know, the children were blamed. They told the children stolen the motorcycle they were riding. And after that, you know, the young people just, you know, realized that the French government, the French press haven't learned anything.
Hmm.
And the rebellion, you know, kicked off.
Wow, first of all, that's interesting that the police got out of the car and ran away. Is clear that if nobody else understood the relationship between the state and colonized people, it seemed those police had some understanding, you know. So what was the state's response to this rebellion?
Well, when it happens, the French president was notorious for his colonial attitude towards African Arab people was in China, you know. And I think his decision was the same, you know, as he did in the previous rebellion in 2005. He sent more police there, you know. And they sent something like about 1,000 police officers in the area. They sent helicopters in the area, armed police, and the media really, as usual, criminalized and demonized the youth, the African Arab youth. And, you know, the state basically, they have a policy in France put by this President Sarkozy of zero tolerance.
Hmm.
You know, which means just police containment as usual, just more repression to the, just the mind of the people, just to have basic democratic right, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you just alluded to the fact that this isn't the first rebellion that Africans and Arabs have participated in France. Can you tell us about the one that had happened before?
Well, it's really interesting that it's almost identical. The first one, two young men, one an African, just like in this prison case, and another one an Arab, just like in this prison case, were running away from police officers. At the time, we were told that it was just like two or three police officers. But later on, after an inquiry, I think that was done by one of the French TV, they call it French 3, FR3, in February of this year, they said those two young people with the name of Buna, the African, and the Arab Ziad, were being chased by 17 police officers.
Jeez.
Six police cars, you know, and being teenagers, under 18, they try to run, and they try to hide in a sub-power station.
Hmm.
And a sub-power station, you know, is something dangerous, you know.
Yes.
And they were electrocuted. Just imagine the amount of, you know, of electrical charge.
Yes.
That hit them, you know, and they died there. You know, running away from colonial police.
Hmm.
Yeah, and as a result of that, the French president made also a statement on the TV referring to the young people, the colonized young people, as scum. And that was televised, you know, that was on TV, so it was hugely reported, you know, and you can imagine. So the set, you know, the scene was set. And after that, I think 2 days after that, the police also raided, I think, a mosque in the area.
Hmm.
The area is known as Clichy-sous-Bois.
Hmm.
And it's reported that the police threw grenades in the mosque.
Wow.
And now put all this together, two young people, two colonized young people killed, the French president calling the young people scums,
yes.
The police attacking the other people in the mosque, and
yes.
The scene for rebellion was set by, you know, by the state itself. So there were 2 weeks of rebellions, city after city, wherever the colonized people lived, they rebelled, burned cars, burned coaches, you know, did this for 2 weeks, and they couldn't be stopped, you know, and that shook France, because they'd never seen anything like this before.
Yeah.
You know, such a response coming from oppressed and colonized people, they never seen that before, so that shook France, and this time it was the same, you know, a young man, an African young man with the name of Larami, and another young man by the name of Mushin, who is a young Arab guy, were hit by a police car that ran from which two police officers ran away, leaving the youngsters to die on the scene.
Hmm.
You know, and as usual, there was no sympathy for anything like this from the authority to say maybe the police was wrong, you know, anything like this. The first thing they did is to criminalize these young people and say they stole the motorcycle they were riding.
And then
they backtracked after that because they didn't steal it.
Hmm.
Yeah, they didn't steal it.
I've also read where they said that the kids actually hit the police, you know, that they're blaming it, that they're blaming the kids' own deaths on themselves.
That's a good point, because the front of the motorcycle, I don't know what it's called in English, it was intact.
Hmm.
It was intact, you know, so which suggests they couldn't have hit the police car.
Yes.
You know. And there was also some video sent to the Le Monde newspaper, just, you know, contradicting that this version of the state, that the youth on the motorcycle hit the car. You know, he sent this video to Le Monde newspaper. Le Monde is one of the ruling class newspaper, mainly the intelligence in France, that's the newspaper.
Yes.
So, yeah, I tried to watch that video myself, but for some reason, you know, it wasn't working. But apparently, other people saw it.
Hmm.
Basically, contradict the version of the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing is that I found interesting is I understand that this rebellion, these rebellions that have been happening recently,
yeah,
were more advanced than the ones that happened before in 2005.
Yeah, one thing definitely that disturbed the ruling class in France is that the young workers, the young colonized workers, basically targeted the symbols of the state, like the police.
Yes.
You know, the police station that cost something like $7 million. They just, you know, torched it. You know, the firebombed it. And also target the police officers themselves. Something like 100 police officers, you know, were injured, which is a record, because you never heard of anything like this in France, where there is a confrontation between oppressed people, colonized Africans, Arabs, and the police being hit so badly like that. You never heard of anything like this.
Yes.
And the press, you know, reported the use of ammunition, you know, of firearms by the young people who were part of this rebellion. And something interesting is going right now in France. I just read somewhere today that the government is trying to use the tactics of delation, which is just another tactics of counter-sentency, you know, trying to create suspicion in the community. In Villers-le-Bel, that's where the rebellion took place this time.
Hmm.
Putting money into the community, you know, to buy off people, so they can denounce, you know, those, you know, young workers who used firearms, you know. Yeah, they're putting money in the community for people to give names, and it'll be anonymous, they say, stuff like that.
Hmm.
So, yeah, kind of service here is, you know, is going on right now.
Is, you know, the situation there sounds kind of similar to a situation that happened in St. Petersburg, Florida, when the police there, the state, attacked the headquarters of the Uhuru movement, and Africans in the community came out and were shooting at the police and you know, throwing bottles and all types of stuff, bricks,
that's
and
right,
everything,
that's,
you know,
right,
to kick the police out, you know, shot down a helicopter you know, That type of thing really, really rattles the state. You know, I mean, you see the state respond a whole lot different. Like, they're tough guys when you know, you got these police who are armed when they're murdering, you know, an African who's alone. But when they have to face a force of African people, you know, or colonized people who were willing to shoot back at the police, who were willing to fight back against the police and come to the conclusion that hell, even dying or getting caught doing this is better than just living in the conditions that we're in. You know, that's just it reminds me so much of what happened in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, you're right. To bring this analogy with the just rebellious of African working class in St. Pete. The only difference is St. Pete. You know, we had the African People's Liberation Party to give leadership to the struggle of the people, and this is missing in France. This is missing in Villiers-le-Bel, in a place where the rebellion took place this time. This also was missing 2 years ago in the November Rebellion in Clichy-sous-Bois. There is no center, revolutionary center, basically, to give, you know, direction to the struggle for self-determination for African people or Arab people. You have probably, you know, some influence, you know, from a different organization that might be in France, but you don't have a center that definitely with a long-term objective to link those struggle with the struggle for national liberation for African people. This doesn't exist, you know. This does not say you don't have organization in France, but with that long-term view based on the community with African working class as the center of the organization, no, you don't have that. And this definitely you can see it because the masses, they are ready. And the masses, you know, the masses have been saying for some time, even before the elections of this guy Sarkozy, they say if Sarkozy takes the presidency, there will be a revolution. That was a saying, you know, in the hood, basically, you know.
Yes.
And this revolution needs to be defined, what it is, you know. So that's definitely it's one of the weaknesses. But there is no doubt that the situation is definitely similar to all the oppression of colonized people around the world. Because I remember in November 2005, the French have to use emergency, to declare a state of emergency using the law they used to use in Algeria. You know, that's the last time the French state used it was in Algeria in 1955, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, which just, you know, confirmed the colonial relationship that exists between the French state and the Arab and African people in France.
Yes. You know. Yes.
Israelite too! Motherfucker! Yasika. Uh-huh. Let me see. How should I set this shit? If I say kill Jake, I'm terrorist. Maybe I should call this joint self-defense. Cause police keep killing young Africans. They might say I'm trying to start a riot after this. We only fight crimes that Uncle Sam commit. Go to Sam's Club and grab some shit for your cabinet. They the reason we don't have shit. Our food, clothes, and shelter ain't growing for magic. They grabbed it. We're forced, nigga, get yours. The police force keep niggas poor. I speak for the streets, man, hear the trigger roar.
Police and helicopter.
All of that and some.
Searching for the gangsters. Policemen in the streets. Search for them trolling. Stick up kids in the field. But if you continue to fuck with my hood, we gon' burn down the precinct. If you continue to fuck with my hood, we gon'
show you the difference between Bastard and Palestine. And I'll hand you 9 reasons you should grab your 9. One. This crack is moving in. 2. They'll even shoot your kid. 3. They got a crosshair on you no matter who you is. 4. They make up all the rules. 5. But they don't follow them. 6. They follow you if they know you got a following. 7. The women dive AIDS. 8. The men lie in the cage. 9. The youth speak over beats with a crying rage. In the midst of all the masses, we still manage to organize the masses. Insurrection is necessary. We follow the leadership of revolutionaries, very legendary. Mao Zedong from Malcolm X. There ain't no telling what could happen next. they got teenagers grabbing texts, stacking clips, it's all real.
Police in helicopters, searching for the gangsters. Policemen in the streets, searching for them trolleys. Stick up kids in the field, run around with blue steel. But if you continue to fuck with my hush, we gon' burn down the precinct. If you continue to fuck with my hush.
African People Socialist Party Chairman Omali Yeshitela's new book, One Africa, One Nation, is available now. In this historic collection, the chairman and representatives of the emerging African Socialist International explain why Africa and all its resources must be liberated and in the hands of African workers and peasants in Africa and everywhere. The chairman's new book, One Africa, One Nation, documents the process of building the African Socialist International, which is rapidly growing in countries throughout Africa and in the US, the Caribbean, and elsewhere around the world. For pictures of the chairman's recent book signing tour, and to order your copy of One Africa, One Nation, go to burningspearuhuru.com. That's www.burningspearuhuru.com.
Uhuru, so you've been listening to a interview with Comrade Louise Kinshasa, the Director of International Affairs for the African People Socialist Party and the Secretary General of the Interim Committee of the African Socialist International. I'm your host, Nibinga Zimbabwe. This is Africa Live. And so we're going to continue presenting this on this program, this interview with Comrade Louise Kinshasa. I want to again let folks know that that on next week we're going to be doing a special broadcast of events clips from a conference done in Spain, Huelva, Spain. This conference was held in November 14th through the 16th, and it was a conference that featured the participation of various policymakers in the government of Spain and other governments in the world, and as well as diplomats and academicians and folk like that. And and the keynote presentation at this conference was made by our chairman, Chairman Omali Yeshitela, chairman of the African People Socialist Party. And so that is going to be a special broadcast. So I want to again ask folks, let folks know that you can email in, you can call in here. We'll take your questions, your comments still, even though this is a pre-recorded interview. You can email in at dj@uhururadio.com, or you can call in at a country code 001-727-824-5719. Also, you know, if you're about to leave your home or whatever, you're about to leave your computer and you still want to listen, you can do that. Or if you got family members who want to listen, but they don't have access to internet, they can do that too. All you got to do is call in with your phone. There's a phone number you can call. If you're in the United States, you can call 425-905-1825. Again, that's 425-905-1825 to listen to Uhuru Radio through your phone in the United States. And if you're in the United Kingdom, if you're in the UK and you want to listen to Uhuru Radio through your phone, you can do that. All you got to do is dial 0870-068-4407. Again, that number is 0870-068-4407. 407 in the UK to listen to Uhura Radio through your phone. So holler at me. You can listen in. You can email in. You can call in. We're going to continue playing this presentation, this interview, better yet, with Comrade Luiza Kinshasa, where we're talking about the recent rebellions in France, and we're also talking a bit about the conference that recently the African People's Socialist Party participated in Huelva, Spain, on November 14th through the 16th. This is Africa Live on UhuruRadio.com. I want to backtrack just a little bit. Can you say something about the conditions of colonized people there in France? Because I know I was reading just some of the conditions, like the unemployment being so high and other issues. Can you for the listeners, kind of paint a picture, let folks know the kind of conditions that our folk were living in France even before these rebellions?
Yeah, the situation historically, the situation of colonized people in France has been really appalling. I know from the 50s, when the Africans and Arab workers were brought into France, they used to be kept in what they call foyer. Foyer is like workers' camps, like you would have in South Africa, where single men will live in an area is removed from any other communities. It's just them, And this makes it easier for the police to contain, to oppress, to harass them, because no one can see just those workers in those isolated places.
Yes.
And they will be living in poor conditions, lack of hygiene, and high rents, for leaving the shoebox. Yeah. I saw those places myself. It's just unbelievable.
Hmm.
And for African workers to get accommodation, I know so many people have to write to the president or to the wife of the president of France just to have access to a social housing. When I say social housing, just to live in the project.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know so many people, we used to do that. And the general condition for housing, for example, just overcrowded. Overcrowded. It's not unusual to go in a home to see a family of four or five or six living in one single room where they do all the cooking, everything. And you've got people who live in the rooms where there are no bathroom, stuff like that, and unemployment is always high. There are areas where unemployment among the Africans, the Arabs, is over 50%, sometimes half. I've got people came from France who were telling me they stay in the area in France where almost everyone they knew didn't have a job.
Hmm.
So, and this is happening in a situation where French imperialism is struggling, for its own survival, because the decline of French imperialism is more noticeable than the decline of U.S. or Germany or British imperialism.
Yes.
Yeah, and the police containment has been vicious, ferocious for years, and containment of the Africans, Arabs, has the popular support of French people.
Hmm.
For the last 20 years, the policies of containment, I would say, for most of the time, were dictated by Jean-Marie Le Pen, the leader of the far-right organization. He stated the policies and the so-called mainstream implement them,
mm-hmm.
And that's been the situation. So this has basically, has an impact on the consciousness of colonized people there.
Yes.
They have nothing else to do but just fight back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's a constant, harassment by the police, constant harassment, on the buses. There are things that's happening here today in a place like London. I'm not saying London is better than Paris, but the police have been doing it a long time ago in France.
Yes. So,
chasing African youth on the buses and still having the inspectors of public transport companies, but the police will be on the buses chasing the Africans, beating young people there, just you know, brutalizing African people. You know, all the time you'll have police with shepherds, dogs in a project. Yeah, police containment has been vicious, and it's been going on for a long time in France.
Yes,
you had a housing, poor housing, like hostels being set on fire, where you have African workers, you know, or asylum seekers living in, and they will not find who did it. And this happened more than once. It's been reported in the Baring Sphere newspaper. I don't remember which month it was, but it happened in more than two occasions.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes. That's France of today. Because I know people think of France as a romantic place. No. It's a place of terror for Africans.
Yes. And I understand, you know, I know immigration is a serious question in places, you know, in these imperialist centers all over. But I understand France has some heavy stuff. Like, is it true that there's a mandatory DNA test that they make people take?
Yes, yes. This was discussed in both houses of French Parliament. I'm not sure. I didn't follow the details, but it passed already. For those who want to, be united with their families, you know, their wives, you know, maybe the children left home. They are, you know, the French embassy will request, you know, proof of a familial links, basically, by asking for the DNA test to be done.
Hmm.
I really don't know the details, but it's something what we need to do is just spend time to find all the details. But this is something, it's a policy this guy, Nicosia, has brought in. And they even said why, you know, people are making, a fuss, about it, because 11 other countries in Europe are doing that already. So I don't know to what extent, you know, that's is the case, but that's what Sarkozy, the French president, said.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned several times the public policy of police containment. Just so that, you know, so the folk come away clear about what that means. Can you explain what you mean by public policy of police containment?
Yeah, public policy of containment is a policy that is organized by the governments, by an imperialist government, to contain the African community, to contain the colonized communities, is where the police basically goes in the community to make sure the community stays in space. You know, the community doesn't move, doesn't get organized, the community is terrorized, the community does not get the space to organize, defend their own interests, you know, to organize in their own interests. And this public policy of containment that requires the community is criminalized, because they go in the community under the pretext that they're fighting crimes, they're fighting drugs, they're fighting illegal immigration and stuff like that. And they use that to put the community under occupation. You know, police containment is a policy of occupation, basically.
Yes.
In Palestine, what the Israel army does, and it was common throughout the last 25 years in France to go in African or Arab communities to see police vans, armed police vans, shepherd dogs. You see all these regularly patrolling or staying there for longer and stopping young people all the time. Incidents of shooting Africans and Arab young people, workers. These are long history. I remember this young African who was shot at close range in a police station.
Hmm.
You know, because they said he stole a packet of cigarettes, and his name is Malcolm. I remember that. You know, I remember all these young Arab workers who were shot by the, not always by the police, sometimes by ordinary white people, French people themselves, you know. And there is a long history of containment of colonized people in France. Constant police checks. You will know somebody who lives in France. If they are elsewhere outside France, you will know, because they're always looking for the police, always looking after the ID cards, because you can't go out without the ID card in France if you're a colonized person, because the police always out there on the street asking for your pass. Where's your pass? Always.
Yes.
You know, and I would say probably even the French laid this, public policy containment that most of the European countries have adopted or are trying to adopt, you know. So that's basically, I would say, as a public policy of containment that as practiced in France today.
Yes. Now, can you let our listeners know, like, what is the status right now of the rebellion? Has it ended? Or what's the status of that right now?
Well, now they're saying Calm has returned. So the oppressed are not fighting as it was 2 weeks ago. So I don't know how the counterinsurgency is developing in France, but one thing I said in the beginning is there is a saying that's going on in Villers-le-Bel that the government is bringing money in the communities to buy off people, you know, to create snitches so they can, denounce those who used firearms, for example, against the police, you know, those who did, you know, defend the community. So that's one thing I heard. Instead of organizing an investigation, for example, to find out what happened, no, they're not doing that. They're trying to find out who resisted.
Yes.
Who played what role in this, you know, magnificent resistance of poor people. And when you know it is a community of where most of the people are poor.
Yes.
And you can imagine this atmosphere of suspicion the government's trying to create by bringing money and for people to become snitches, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one thing. So the general thing is the work of the African People's Socialist Party, the movement in general, needs to be brought in France, because the African working class has to become aware of itself, of its mission in France and of its mission around the world, you know. And I think this can only be brought in there by movement, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, there is a limitation there in France right now, but the mood is there. People want to fight, you know. Is evidence of it.
Yes, yes.
I think when we talk about situation of Africans in France, I think we need to also add that the same French imperialism that just killed those two young people in France is also, not a long time ago, maybe 2 weeks before that, was involved in organizing the kidnapping of African children in Chad.
Yes.
And the same French imperialism is also involved in bombing African people in the Central African Republic. It's not talked about, but they've been, you know, using their airplanes to bomb villages in the Central African Republic, and we don't know how many people died, you know, and this is something is continuous. You know, as we're talking right now, you got French armies in that country, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we need to put that in that perspective. Basically, we have to fight French imperialism in France, in Chad, in Central African Republic, and everywhere else, you know.
Right on. Well,
Yeah. One Mark, Scarvey, Becca, Chase Lumumba, Kwame Nkrumah, Bill Carcaral, and one O'Malley Yeshatilla. O'Malley Yeshatilla, my people's choice. Doing it as our land. Bring that in, man. That's right. Africa is our land.
Living this life as a rebel. Living this life as a rebel. Living real shit, homie. Liberated, we got the beat. Only the people can make a real revolution, so that's who we serve. All these ass kissing Uncle Tom niggas got no concern. We got nothing to gain off this plantation but making it burn. Yes, you tell her destroyed everything they schools was making us learn. He taught us crackers living good off our wealth they didn't earn. That's why they shoot you in the back as soon as you start making a turn.
On them, as we walk towards Africa,
as we walk towards Africa. We stay disciplined 24/7 cause crackers are setting up traps for us. We don't slip when them pretty face dimes throw ass at us. We're taking us pride, even the baddest chicken wear a wire. You got Asians approaching you from every angle, trying to get you tangled and twisted. But everything we do stay explicit. The state will try to say we trafficking drugs, taking our right to have it come. We still gon' bust gang on our sons and daughters, cause they the future, so they can shoot you today. Another generation to rise from the roots like Houston. We've been through the worst torture up in Harlem, in Haiti, in London, in Mother Africa. We all starving, so we all brawling. In revolution, we gon' spark it. We reach farther and keep dropping science till we martyrs. To live and die for the people, we be harder. The struggle might be hard, but we harder. And that's why we start
living this life as a rebel. Hard living this life as a rebel.
But we harder.
It's hard living this life as a rebel.
Off the box site and get it grown a trees and stop yelling not we not we with Tabu to neo-colonists a new appointed president.
Here I go.
So you can call me a rebel.
Yeah,
was burning in again, but the words in the bird.
Oh,
it ain't no way that we can settle this. Comrade turn old, got them soldiers on go.
Here I go.
I like to study eschatealism.
Could you break that down for me, sir?
I study history and realism.
Real
when it's real, we should deal with it.
Deal
from
with
the cells to the block.
To Africa,
we should deal with it.
Liberty City 7 won't do a nothing but studying Bibles. And Katherine Johnson was 92 at the time of the cops' arrival. If you living in black, survival ain't an item. You got a right to. That's right, dude. You have some sense. You want to stand up and fight, too. Surprise you. Mess around and get an example made out of you. Mind your own business and them cops make you a pinata.
Ooh.
See a lot of dudes get shook up and get the slackest. But I had to choose to put them books up and get the action. I'm asking, are you a good slave or a bad one? Do you bust backwards and backwards? The master putting them lashes on your back. See, I'm that last one, that bad one. That one you see when the master's house is burning, pouring the gas and rot when that turtle with that's the
whole world.
Fast forward some 100 years in time. Now we ride with Yes and Tell It and never stop. I mean, yeah, life as a rebel can be hard sometimes, but it's even harder for a slave that can't make up his mind to fight back.
Living this life as a rebel. It's hard living this life as a rebel. It's hard living this life as a rebel.
Gotta get out of this thing.
African People Socialist Party Chairman Omali Yeshitela's new book, One Africa, One Nation, is available now. In this historic collection, the chairman and representatives of the Emerging African Socialist International explain why Africa and all its resources must be liberated and in the hands of African workers and peasants in Africa and everywhere. The chairman's new book, One Africa, One Nation, documents the process of building the African Socialist International, which is rapidly growing in countries throughout Africa and in the US, the Caribbean, and elsewhere around the world. For pictures of the chairman's recent book signing tour, and to order your copy of One Africa, One Nation, go to burningspearuhuru.com. That's www.burningspearuhuru.com.
Shop, donate, and volunteer at Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles for great deals on high-quality used furniture and unique treasures. Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles is a non-profit used furniture and collectible store with outlets in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Oakland, California, and St. Petersburg, Florida. Uhuru Furniture Stores are an institution of the African People's Education and Defense Fund for genuine economic development for the African community. All donations are tax-deductible. Volunteer at Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles to be part of a great community of people who have a true desire to change the conditions of life for the African community. To locate the store nearest you, visit apedf.org and click the Uhuru Furniture link. That's APEDF, the acronym for African People's Education and Defense Fund. Or simply Google Uhuru Furniture.
Possible that people just die every day in a land so rich. What about them?
Spell.
What about them?
Spell. Be a soul. Think about that one. I don't know what you're saying.
Where you at? My people ride and take them to the streets. Where you at? Organizing, man, this crisis is deep. Where you at? But we ain't seen you in a couple of weeks. Don't let them have y'all scared to speak. Raise up and fight to get free. Where you at? In the streets, to the gutters, the alley. Where you at? The bus stops, barbershops, and the traps. And where you at? At the rally, this been the chairman, no matter. From Guinea, Corner, Creed, to Cali, scream black powers, how you find? I used to be young and foolish, didn't know what to do with my life. But inside was a clue, the situation was ruined. If life is a game, then Africans, we had to be losing. That's when I went to school and came in contact with the movement. That's when I finally found out that I was an African. It wasn't no magic folks back when the crackers started to trap again. From back then up until right now, it was always fighting. Don't even think that we're settling down. No civil rights, man, get it right, man. Every Africa is our lifeline. So now I'm organizing, win this thing in our lifetime. It's fight time, ding. And around the world, peoples is bucking. And if you think that you gon' pray it away, then good luck, cause you gon' need it. In fact, you weed it a bit too much. These crackers giving out nothing but beatings. And dude, that sucks. But while you duck and tell you what you need to look at the facts, ain't a people that got us some freedom without fighting back. So where you at? My people ride and take them to the streets. And where you at? Organizing, man, this crisis is deep. Where you at? But we ain't seen you in a couple of weeks. Don't let them have y'all scared to speak. Raise up and fight to get free. Where you at? In the streets, to the gutters, and alley. And where you at? The bus stops, barbershops, and the traps. And where you at? At the rally, listening to jamming, no matter. From Candy Corner, Green, to Cali Street, like powers, how you find?
can find me in Southeast D.C. 5 minutes away from where George Bush and them stay, where they equip young Africans with AKs and CRACK to commit violence horizontally. But ironically, we bust back to philosophy. Now we looking for enemies, finding new use for Hennessy. Molotov ring a bell to me. Words of my seeds, we getting free. Getting cheese, not a concern to me. Crack is hurting me. Trigonometry. Matter of fact, they scared of me. Cause I'm down with the people. Bust rounds for the people. If you down with the beast, look down for your people. Black. Who is it? A true movement with a new vision of who isn't. Bullshit, and we full clippin' smooth niggas. Pull triggers for you snitches. Triggers for you, my comrades from here to Sierra Leone. I say these raps, play these tracks, spray these gats. That's where we at.
Where we at, comrades.
Right, comrades.
See you crown.
Crown.
That's where we at, man.
It's like that.
How is it possible that people just die every day in a land so rich? What about them?
There's too many of us dying out there,
man, you know. There's no way logical with resources starting from the cold and aluminum and diamonds. What about them?
What about them, man? Bauxite. What about all these resources for people?
Damn,
how, man? How?
If the East touched one, we can all touch all of the magic for this call. Tell me where you at.
Got to come together.
Where you at?
Tell me where
you
strong,
at,
man.
Where
you at?
From St. Peter, L.A., Brooklyn, the J.A., D.C., the Hayday, all the way to
tell me where you at, Where you at? It's time to get it now. We gotta make this revolution.
Where y'all at?
Where y'all at?
Where y'all at?
5 million in the Congo. 200,000 in Sierra Leone. A million more in Rwanda.
I'm tired of it. Our people can't keep dying for this, man. We gotta stop this madness, y'all. We gotta do this.
There's no way logical with resources starting.
It don't even make sense, man. Africa is rich, man. Africa is rich. We shouldn't have to be poor, man. We don't gotta bag nobody for nothing. Let's take our resources back.
It ain't
a game out here, man. People dying, man. This thing is real. Listen, y'all. This is serious. This ain't a game out here. Our people are dying every day. We can't wait. How long are we supposed to wait until we gonna be free? We can't be scared, man. We got to fight, man. My comrades in Paris, London, Jamaica, Haiti. You know what I'm saying? We gotta make this happen.
Uhuru. Welcome back to Africa Live on uhururadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and you've been listening to an interview with Comrade Luwezi Kinshasa, the Director of International Affairs for the African People's Socialist Party, and also the Secretary General of the Interim Committee of the African Socialist International. Comrade Luwezi was talking with us about the rebellions in France, and which happened recently as a result of the French government, the French police, murdering two young colonized peoples, a young African and a young Arab. So what we're going to continue with now is the part of the interview with Comrade Luwezi Kinshasa, where he's talking about a recent conference that happened in Spain, in Huelva, Spain, a conference that featured participation from various people around the world, delegates from different areas, people who were government policymakers and diplomats and academicians and whatnot, activists, and featured in that conference was as the keynote speaker was our chairman Omali Eshitela. So in this interview, we talked with Comrade Luwezi Kinshasa about that conference, about you know, what happened there. So stay tuned. And again, you know, those of you who want to participate can email in. You can email us at dj@uhururadio.com, or you can call at country code 001-727-824-5719. So this is an interview with Comrade Loezi Kinshasa, and this is Africa Live on NahuaRadio.com. I want to move now to the Spain conference. Comrade, you traveled to Spain for a conference there that happened on November 14th to the 16th, along with a delegation from the African People's Socialist Party that included Chairman Omalia Shetela, who was the keynote presenter at that conference. Can you tell our listeners what the conference was for?
Yeah, this was a conference that was organized in Spain, as you said. And it was a conference that claims that they were aiming at defining new relationship between the West, as the term there, and Africa. And they invited different liberals from the imperialist world, like lecturers from universities. They invited former African ministers and African intellectuals, like journalists, university lecturers. And they also invited the leader of our organization as a keynote speaker. He gave the first presentation of the conference. Hmm. And that was significant because they were looking for African personality. And what is amazing is the African personality comes from the African liberation movement, you know, from the revolutionary sector. You know, that was something that was remarkable that we were able to make our way in that mix.
Yes.
And from the speech the chairman gave, and he set the tone for the rest of the conference.
Yes.
So it was you know, for our movement, it was a big lesson how you work in a six, you know, in a mix where revolution is not on the agenda.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was great. That was great. Just to set the tone, this is the direction we have to go. So pull everybody in our direction.
Hmm.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. And was this the first conference of its kind there in Spain?
I think they have done other things before, but of this kind, I think that was the first one, where the redefinition of the relationship between Africa and the West was, you know, the central theme of the conference. Yeah. I think that was the first one. Yeah.
Okay. What was your general impression of the conference?
Well, the general impression is we learned something there. We won friends there. We had an influence there. And everything we can achieve depends on our own strength. So what difference is there? I'm convinced the stronger we get, the more we'll be called, you know, by different forces, like some liberal or people see themselves progressive around the world, you know, to be in their meetings. Because
yes,
Europe has to deal with this question of Africa. And is in a competition with China and other forces. So, and they have to respond to that, you know, as well. They're not yet responding to our own strength.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, but I would say, we were definitely friends there, and we were able to define what we mean or what could be the relationship between the West and Africa. And we made it clear it should not be charity. It has to be solidarity, not charity.
Yeah.
And that was a serious political and ideological victory, that the Africans left there with a new concept in their brain. You know, that charity will not take us nowhere. It has to be solidarity. And we are the ones who have to define it for them. You know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Israeli too, E-Africa. Gotta do this, man.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Yo, I gotta go, baby. Revolution in the air, baby. Yeah. It's all about revolutionary people out there. Drugs and sis. This young ace. Yo, let me rock it like this. Yeah. Like the Panthers did in 67. I'm about to run up in Capitol Hill with brandished weapons. Put the peace to the crackers facing. Then ask politely, can we talk about reparations? Now some may say that's rash, but my people getting played like a jackass. And when I think about it, I ain't the criminal, see you stole me. So the way I see it, you owe me. 42 years since the Birmingham bombing, and I'm still turning pages to see black churches still burning. So excuse me if I ain't interested in ritual, time to get political, yeah. You want me out the country, fine, I leave as soon as you get the hell out of mine. I best believe, yeah, here I stand. Yo, John Doe about to make Americans scared like I'm the president of Iran. It's where you to be Africa. Yeah, the land is ours. They touch one, then they touch all. Yeah, I know the truth is scary, but what you expect? I'm a revolutionary. Man, I don't want the people calm. Time to create 2-3 many Vietnams. Think I'm joking, yo, I'm serious. We gotta bring down the imperialists. The socialists is coming through. And if you on the wrong side, we coming right through you. Revolution coming soon, do your way. By the way, rest in peace, Kwame Ture. There's no time to play, yo. I think somebody better tell him about the great work done by Omali Eshetela. Courageous fella, bringing back the soul of the body and leader of the African Socialist Party. The first brother that I heard say this phrase. All my revolutionary people help me say, come on. Is, where, lead, to, be, Africa. Yeah, the land is ours. You touch one, then you touch all. Come on. Is, where, lead, to, be, Africa. Yeah, the land is ours. If you touch one, then you touch all. Yo, the and why we say that is to remember who we was from way back. Africa, the land is ours. We're gonna take it back from the European powers. And I'm here to let you know, all your Uncle Tom and Aunt Jemima's gotta go. Yeah, you sold us for black capitalism right next to slavery. That's the biggest capital prison. Once you take up for the system that enslaved you, you gotta do whatever the hell that like they say do. Yeah, you black, but now you speak for whites. You want an example? Look at Condoleezza Rice. You wanna see the best of we? Then learn your history so you can change your destiny. Yeah. Yo, E-Africa, you say it's way led through. Now I'm out like the Mau Mau, Uhuru. Hey, yeah, yo.
So, were there any presentations that struck you as interesting or stood out to you?
Yeah, I would say that the presentation that struck everybody, that was the chairman's presentation, because most of you didn't know, you know, what this African is going to say, you know, and when they heard, you know, what he said, that was new to everyone, you know, and you could see the faces of Africans, faces of Europeans, just people reacting and looking around if anyone is going to call for what, you know. It was something they weren't used to, and the good thing is we say that he was able to make that presentation without having to, you know, bow to, you know, to white people or to the liberals that were in the room. So, and he was able to set this, the tone for the rest of the conference, you know, and many of the speakers. Most of the key speakers refer to the speech the chairman gave or responded to the presentation he made. So that really was a significant. And we also attended workshops, you know.
Yes.
And in those workshops, so we did the same thing, you know, put our line and make sure we struggle for solidarity. sort of charity is not the answer, but solidarity. And also struggle for African self-determination, because Africans have to negotiate with whoever in a position of strength. It must be our own strength, you know, that brings us to those negotiations we're going to have with anybody else. So we make sure what we demanding is reflected by or is a response to our strength.
Yeah.
But fortunately, the Africans who went to that conference were not in a position of strength. And the people who organized it or who funded it knew that.
Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting because I've had the opportunity to see some of the video from that conference. And
you seen them?
I've seen some of it. And I also had the opportunity to talk to some of the comrades who attended that conference.
That's
right. And I could see the reactions of some of the white folks there.
Yes, definitely.
And then also, it's just the whole question, like you said, Africans are really not used to talking to white people like that, you know. You know, we're used to bowing down, you know. And I really imagine that did something to Africans' ability to stand up, you know, tall, you know, just the ability to understand why it is that we're poor, you know, and not just be looking for handouts or charity while all of our stuff is being stolen. I imagine it did. That it had to have some serious impact on the consciousness of the Africans in attendance and their ability to understand how to deal with imperialism.
Definitely, and we saw the change. You know, we saw how the language of some of the Africans just changed suddenly after you know hearing the presentation. You know. And you saw the inspiration on some of the Africans when they intervened. You know these enthusiasm, these you know strength they had, they displayed. They couldn't have had it, you know, without movement and our chairman, you know, being there to make that presentation. You know, so that's why it's so critical that to have news, you know, broadcast to all corners, to all places where Africans are, so they can know this is the philosophy. You need to equip yourself with in order, you know, to move the African world towards complete liberation, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that the our participation in that conference also alerted imperialism there, you know, to the development, the growth of the African Revolution back on the scene?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
I was asking, do you feel like the presentation that the chairman made? Do you feel like and our participation in the conference in all? Do you feel like it also alerted imperialism to the growth, the development of the African Revolution?
Well, I think so. You can't go to those meetings, you know, without anticipating that imperialism is there with you there.
Yes,
you know, it's there in many forms, you know, but definitely it was there. And the thing is, you can't really stop
yes.
the growth of African Revolution as it is now, because there is nothing else out there but just resistance and revolutionary resistance. And the only thing now our people have to put back on the agenda. And the situation being what it is, the imperialism being such a crisis that there is no way the colonized people will not fight back, as we see in other places. And another thing also is the fact that the African Revolution is not yet strong yet also works in our favor, because I believe imperialism is fighting for its survival where they are pinned down in the Middle East and other places.
Yes.
So the speed of the African organizers to bring, you know, political and ideological tools to the people will be a determining factor. So imperialism saw us, but we have to do what we have to do, basically. You know, go out there and organize, because imperialism is weaker.
Yes.
It's weaker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, did you all get the opportunity to see the conditions that Africans live in there in Spain?
No, we didn't have the opportunity. Our stay was short, and it was in an area where you don't have a significant concentration of Africans.
Hmm.
And we were confined, basically, in a conference hood, I would say, you know. We had one place where we stayed in hotels, and we moved from there to the place where the meeting took place. You know, so we didn't have an opportunity to go and look for the quarters of African people, no.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Were you able to get any sense from the conference itself, from the, you know, the presentation and discussions there, of the conditions of Africans there?
From what the presentation people did, no.
Okay.
But based on our knowledge, we know what the situation is. We know there are a lot of Africans who work in the fields, you know, in agricultural sectors, poorly paid, you know, living in terrible conditions, accommodation, you know, very difficult in Madrid, in Barcelona, in those places. We are just informed, generally speaking, of the situation of Africans in that fashion. But in the city where we were, one thing that people know is the bodies of the Africans that washed on the beaches in Spain, because Spain is so close to Africa, and the south of Spain, that's where the Africans who come to Europe set first foot is in Spain, in the south of Spain. So there is that definitely in that part of the world where we were.
Hmm.
Yeah, the immigration issue, definitely that would be a big issue.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, we're going to be playing on next week some excerpts from the conference and talking with some of the participants of the conference. Is there anything that you would like to say about the conference or in general, you know, in closing?
Well, what I can say is the philosophy of African internationalism definitely is the philosophy of our time. You know, we see that time and time again. So I had the opportunity to see that in action in Spain. And one thing I definitely know, the African nation has to be organized and liberated, so we can go to any conference, you know, in a position of strength. You know, we can go to any conference where the Africans will be speaking with one voice, there will be one delegation, you know, as opposed to, you know, we came from different parts of African world, you know, with no strategic trajectory.
Yes.
That conference, you know, we came from Burkina Faso, we came from Rwanda, we came from Benin, we came from Senegal, you know, we came from different places, you know, in African world, and they're divided. You know, that's basically what we see today in Africa itself, where there is no unity of African nations. So all these different states created by imperialism go all over the place, individually dealing with the same imperialism, who is united when it comes down to Africa, you know. So that's definitely something. It was obvious that the unification of African people is a must.
Yes.
And the philosophy of African internationalism is definitely one that's going to make it happen. And the only thing we have to do is build the ASI, basically, that will make this a reality. And for those who don't know what the ASI is, it's the African Socialist International, a single organization of African revolution around the world that have to unite inside the ASI to lead the struggle, to organize the struggle for liberation of African world and African people and Africa itself, so we can build a united socialist state, you know, that put power in the end of the African workers and the lives for poor peasants. And That's what we need. When we achieve that, we can then go to all those conferences. But in the meantime, we have to continue to be known everywhere. So no conference happens anywhere without us being known or being present or being in a position to influence it, you know, struggle for influence everywhere.
Yes.
So all conference become a tool, you know, to facilitate the work, you know, of the ASI.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'd like to I'd like to express my appreciation to you, Comrade Luese, for coming on the show again. I know there's so much work that you're doing towards that end, towards the end of building, you know, the African Socialist International and uniting and liberating our Africa. And I just appreciate you taking time out in participating in this discussion, this forum here.
All the pleasure, you know, the honor is for me, you know, to be on this fantastic radio. You know, there's no way to describe it. You know, I'm just so honored to be on this radio once again, you know, to do our part, our duty, you know, towards our people to be free.
Yes, yes. Well, that concludes this interview for today. So stay tuned for more here on Uhuru Radio.
All right, Uhuru, comrade.
I appreciate it, comrade.
Chairman O'Malley, yes, you tell her.
Uhuru. That concludes that interview with Comrade Luese Kinshasa, the Director of International Affairs for the African People's Socialist Party, and the Secretary General of the Interim Committee of the African Socialist International. I hope that folk got a lot out of that. We're gonna take a break, a music break for a little while, and we're gonna come back with just a little bit more here on Africa Live on uhururadio.com.
Chairman O'Malley, yes, you tell her. Two words.
Turn me up, C-Los, turn me up.
Baby.
Two
words.
Come on now.
This piece,
I hear you most deaf.
C-Los.
Kanye.
Yes.
I like that
production.
Yeah.
Like
two words.
Two words.
What's up, man? Hey, what's up?
Tables in the building.
What's up? Way to go.
Two words.
Oh,
what's up,
everybody?
What's up, homies?
Yeah. Might sound kind of angry, man, but we got some words.
Get off my chest, man.
Check this out,
man.
Check this out. Two words. Better yet, three letters. You bet. USA equals KKK. Yes.
GED
instead of DOE. Damn it, give us free screen.
Ooh.
Mandela should have been, yes, to tell her, chosen for our president, leader of our continent, never what we settled in. For this non-development, African skeleton. Two words, black folk, high tension, no joke, turn it into gun smoke, killing up our young folk. No love, no breaks, getting by, no stakes, equal rights, no way, you can yell it, you can yell it. Two words, United States, better yet, United clans, stole the land, same way you confiscated Africans, gold diamonds, whole tan, rubber boat and rubber vans, ain't no sense in stuttering.
Our land and stole everything that we got.
Damn.
And house niggas helping, but that shit ain't hot.
Please.
Cause once the streets start to poppin', cause you might get dropped. I'm saying two words, take over. Then they did the rainbow. Black folks rebel, they had to do a makeover. Now they got cats that look like you. Making presidents, they black, but they not like you. I'm singing one people, one aim, one land, no games, no time to play. Now it's time to say on whose side you standing.
Africans
demanding the end to this bullshit. Taking back our land in two words, touch one, touch all. Cause it's only divided we fall. So we gotta heed the call. Across time zones, never fighting alone. They touch hate, touching back in Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
better yet, divide the land. Trick the ball, the Indians, crackers call it pyramids. Bill Gates, full of sin, president, full of gin. Ain't no sense in bullshit, and bring your whole room. One word, democracy, more like hypocrisy. White House, Pentagon, all of them are Dr. G. Independence, stop it, please. Trying to hit this lottery. Crackers standing, clocking me. Aim ready, shoot ready. Two words, Supreme Court, playing blacks like sport. Tell us what we hoping for. Even better, what we voting for. Closing up our open doors, closing up our open doors. We gotta take it if we wantin' more. Everybody move. Two words, man grab. Katrina, aftermath. Never seen a bloodbath. White like this hood rap. Court system ain't shit. Dirty rotten government. Never this irrelevant. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Make this shit happen, y'all. Well, Bombay, yeah, bingo. It's 727 and C-Lo's and Mitch P Productions. Bing.
Legendary Foundation, sending this one out to the people, you know what I mean? My people's in the streets of Emmerdale, streets of New York City, you know what I'm saying? From the streets of Jamaica to the ghettos of London, word up. People's in the struggle in Paris, Cuba, South Africa, word up. Worldwide, Bruce Crew, hey yo, open your minds to this one, feel it. Feel it, join the prayer.
This morning, I woke in a curfew. Oh God, I was a prisoner too. Yeah, could not recognize the faces standing over me. They were all dressed in uniforms of brutality. Hey, how many rivers do we have to cross?
Trying to eat in 99, I need more.
Some taking this to the streets, right? They want war. The sheriff at the front door, he coming to hunt y'all. You got these devils at the back door, they wanna confront y'all. They want y'all to pass like some type of gun law. They come in the night, then block out every border you could run for. Me, I'm a rocket launcher and militant monster. I'm self-sponsor, I light up the mic just like Gonja. Black door in the flesh, no imposter, power hilly. Thoroughbred soldiers ain't with the same silly shit that's uncertain. Wrapped inside a steel curtain's networking. Our shoulders, backs, and necks hurting for real. So be supreme or just remain a mere person. Yo, you can find knowledge yourself or keep searching. Whoever in the crevice is thirsty, working beneath the surface. Y'all know the purpose, keep the streets burning. Yeah. It comes down to a question of control and who control your hood. Can't nobody bang like a who could say. Take the upstate and why I used to be the mad, frustrated type. Most niggas that I used to smoke with ended up staying high. The movement came and it showed me the light. Why the chairman put me on to a soldier way of life? We gotta pay a price for everything we got. So don't think your freedom any different, cause it's not. We sound like a chorus when we say fuck a cop. There's a whole lot more to keep us stuck on the block. I'm talking about the land and the gold we ain't got. So think about that the next time it get hot. I'm talking about the land and the gold we ain't got. So think about that the next time it get hot. Sing.
Everything from my land to my freedom, all of that shit was stolen from me, son.
You are now listening to a Burning Spear Records production.
Hola. Once a slave, twice never ever, Jah would never let us down. This is revolution sound. This is revolution sound. Once a slave, twice never ever, Jah would never let us down. This is revolution sound. This is revolution sound. This is revolution sound. Once a slave. Yeah, liberate yourself or make the slavery and set your mind free. Undress a million souls lost in the Red Sea. Through the slavery, living half a cuss helplessly towards eternity. The truth gotta be told. We need conversations in all oppressed nations. A lot of us living blindly, perceive Everton White to be superior to black. Nah, never dead. Ready for combat, black will forever shine. Try to keep us blind, put our life on the line. This song is made to rise the soul of the fallen soldiers who fought against the slave masters, the icons of emancipation. Be suicide your foe, be suicide your foe, but still, while we got gold and minerals, but we still can control. Why the black man is the white man's enemy? Why the Europeans gotta rule the world economy? Resist any form of slavery with your own mentality. Rise, Mother Africa, this song gotta make your mind if you want to teach you blind. Rise, Mother Africa, this song gotta make your mind even when the teach you blind. Spread the word.
We were once a slave in the cold days, where we're living in pains and miseries, and all we talk about is peace and justice, love and unity, humanity, suffering, see no victory. All we see is faces of death, tears and frightness, the stillness, in the name of the God, the fortress, the ruleness, from the beginning now the killingness. Watch Mother Nature suffer the error, and those who can't see remain blind till forever. Being gunned by war, behind the scene of government is revolution. Black man restitution, so free your mind from the guns and terror and stop abusing. Surrender your soul, it's time to fight for Mama Africa. Time to recognize the slave master, Africa. Time to liberate faster.
Once a slave, twice never ever, Jah would never let us down. This is revolution sound. This is revolution sound. Once a slave, twice never ever, Jah would never let us down. This is revolution sound. This is revolution sound. This is revolution sound.
Repatriation is the unpredictable process. Spectacular, the black race wars isn't forever. We'll be over the white Dracula. Descendants of Axum and Kemet, build pyramids, triangular. Knew the essence of the sun's blazing fire. Anchorer, the source of light from Ra, that illuminated, melanated humans with Kabbalistic origins. Of the black mystical, I'm original and dreadful. Holistic air, East Side of the Harbinger. Are you ready to join in the revolution? With lyrical and historical vibes that be critical for Africa? Then remember the many dying in Africa. Why is it tearing our nation? Whose side do you choose? Or you wanna remain silent or patient? As you work and die for fools. When I say fools, I mean the fools. UFOs who rock us of a precious stone. The vampire that kept to destroy the layers of ozone. Desolator who dwells in the depths of the frozen Arctic zones. Cast away the white monger that dwelleth amongst us. Revolutionary voice of thunder. As you did, so I cast your cause asunder. Remember, I beat the harbinger whose head you took to devour. My body retrieved in the Gulf of Aden after you threw it under. Lockets on my feet that held them together on slave ships. I wept tears, I mean I wept tears. Tears that made me remember my bloody hunger.
African People's Socialist Party Chairman Omali Yeshitela's new book, One Africa, One Nation, is available now. In this historic collection, the chairman and representatives of the Emerging African Socialist International explain why Africa and all its resources must be liberated and in the hands of African workers and peasants in Africa and everywhere. The chairman's new book, One Africa, One Nation, documents the process of building the African Socialist International, which is rapidly growing in countries throughout Africa and in the US, the Caribbean, and elsewhere around the world. For pictures of the chairman's recent book signing tour, and to order your copy of One Africa, One Nation, go to burningspearuhuru.com. That's www.burningspearuhuru.com.
Uhuru, and welcome back to Africa Live on uhururadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and for much of the program today, we played a interview that I had the opportunity to do on last week with Comrade Luwezi Kinshasa, who is, again, the Director of International Affairs for the African People's Socialist Party, and also the Secretary General of the Interim Committee of the African Socialist International. I really want folks to understand, you know, what it was that we were talking about. You know, the discussion that we were having. We were talking about the conference that recently happened in Spain, Huelva, Spain, in November 14th through the 16th. Called the Africa and the West. Africa and the West. That conference was one that, you know, featured participation from diplomats and academicians and you know, folk like that, and you know, policymakers and governments. And the keynote speaker at that conference was our Chairman Omali Eshetela. So we talked a bit about that conference, what came out of that conference, and its significance. And we talked also with Comrade Luwezi Kinshasa about the rebellions that recently happened in France a couple of weeks ago, where after the police had the French police had killed two young colonized peoples, an African and an Arab. The police had rammed their motorbike with the police car, and subsequently just left the scene, just left the car and left the scene, and left those two young people there to die. As a result, there was a rebellion in France. You know, Africans and Arabs took to the streets in rebellion, and you know, were shooting police and burning police stations and things of the sort. You know, and I think that there is something that we have to learn from both of these things. I think there's something that both of these things that we were discussing speak to, and they speak to the need for an international organized capacity for African people, the need for African people, no matter where we are, to be part of one organization, one revolutionary organization, that would move in the interest of the African working class and poor peasantry, and in doing so would be struggling for the liberation and unification of our Africa, for the end to the parasitic relationship that the U.S. and Europe hold with Africa and African people, where all of our labor, all of our resources, everything that we do goes to build for the U.S. and Europe, while African people in Africa and in these places in the U.S. and Europe remain poor, remain in the most impoverished conditions. We have to have an organization, a single organization that spans around the world that is working to unite and liberate our Africa and African people. That's really the only solution. I mean, we can, you know, fight these struggles. We can take on these issues like immigration. We can take on the issues like police brutality, police murders. You know, we can take on the issues like like the recent, like the current situation where in Miami, Florida, where 7 young Africans' lives hang in the balance right now, as a jury decides whether the U.S. government was correct to set these 7 young Africans up and charge them with terrorism. These 7 young Africans who had didn't even have the capacity to pay their utility bills, didn't even have the capacity to pay their rent, who lived in one of the most impoverished sections of the city of Miami, and possibly one of the most impoverished sections of the United States. But they were charged with terrorism based on the actions of FBI agents who set up a plan, who did all these things, you know. So we can fight all of these individual cases, and we can fight them forever. But the reality is, what's going to change our reality, what's going to change the world, is us recognizing that these are not isolated incidents. These are not isolated events. In fact, they're all part of this struggle, by imperialist white power to maintain its grip on our lives, to maintain its grip on our resources. And so it's important that we understand that we take on these struggles, because we have to take them on. We have to take on these struggles, these day-to-day struggles that our people are involved in. But we have to take them on recognizing that they are part of a larger contradiction. They're part of a larger problem, part of the problem, the fundamental problem, which is the fact that Europe attacked Africa and created a world system, a world economy, at the expense of African people and other colonized peoples around the world. And to change all of these things, to stop police brutality, to stop the imprisonment of African people unjustly, to stop the general attacks on African people in all these places, by not just the state but also by regular white people who've taken the cue from the imperialist states and began attacking African people. It's important that we take on all these struggles in the context of this larger struggle, to liberate and unite our Africa. That is our solution. Outside of that, we will be fighting forever, you know, for crumbs, for these small issues. And you know, the reality is, you know, every issue seems big, you know, as they're happening to us. You know, they seem like they're big struggles at the time. And they are for us individually, but the reality is the larger contradiction for all of us is this thing here, this attack on our Africa, and the fact that we don't have self-determination, we don't have control of our own lives, a struggle for democracy, a struggle for democratic rights, has to be a struggle for state power, has to be a struggle for us to be able to control our own lives. That is what we're talking about here. You know, that's why the African People's Socialist Party would participate in the conference in Spain, a significant conference in Spain. That's why the African People's Socialist Party or the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, which is an organization that is led by the African People's Socialist Party, would take on the case of the Liberty City 7. That's why we take on police brutality and all these other issues in the African community in these places where we are. It's because we recognize that all of these are part and parcel of this struggle for democracy, this struggle for national democratic rights for African people, this struggle for state power, this struggle for power of our own lives. We have to make this struggle, y'all. So I just wanted to say that before we closed out here on Africa Live on thehooradio.com. I want to say one more thing. One Africa, one nation. Uhuru.
The children of the higher man. grooving to how I find.